Bob Adabes, 16th of January, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt. Hide the mask.
Now, of course, the build up to Purim, I'm sure you've heard lots about Purim already, but perhaps maybe something from a slightly different angle to do with the Megillah itself. And we're obviously very familiar with the story, but something here that might be an element of Chiddush, because there's so many psukim to analyze in the Megillah. Phenomenal, of course, doesn't need me to say, but the Megillah itself is, every pasuk is so exciting. Now we have one of the psukim in the middle of the Megillah always stands out as an interesting line, almost like the pasuk says, "Ki im hachareish tacharishi ba'eis hazois." So Mordechai says to Esther, if you're quiet at this time, in other words, she's about to go in, she's got the opportunity, she's not about to go in actually, she's about to, she has to do something to save the people. If you don't, if you keep quiet at this time, there'll be revach v'atzola, the Jewish people will be just fine. Don't worry about the Jewish people. But you, right? Something will happen from a different place. But you and your father's house will be destroyed. Who knows if this was the whole reason that you became queen in the first place? Of course, absolutely that was the reason. Now, we find, firstly, by the way, we often talk about Jewish continuity. What's going to be with the Jewish people? And how do we assure the survival of the Jewish people? We don't have to do anything to assure the survival of the Jewish people. If you want to know what happens, what will be with the Jewish people, Hashem will take care of the Jewish people. What we have to do for the survival of the Jewish people is to make sure that the story is a good storyline. We're definitely going to get to the end point. There definitely will be a good ending, but the path that gets us there, that's up to us. If you're worried about what's going to be with the Jewish people, will we be destroyed? We will not be destroyed. There will be a Jewish people that will make it to the finishing line. How will we get there? That's very much in our hands. We have to realize that we have the ability. So in other words, if we're worried about the Jewish people being destroyed, that will never happen. All the great Gedolim, the Kleisenberger Rebbe during the war years, he was always machazik, those people that were around him. Always give chizuk to those in the most terrible conditions possible, Gehenna that we can't even describe. He would always machazik others. And people would say, what will be with the Jewish people? That's what people, a good question. What's going to be with the Jewish people? It looks like it's all over. And he always said, absolutely categorically, the Jewish people will survive. 100%. He used to say by himself, will I survive? I don't know. But will the Jewish people survive? Definitely. And that's the emunah that he had all throughout his life. Klal Yisrael will be fine. Will we be part of it? The plan and how it works, that's a separate story. So this is what Mordechai says to Esther. Listen, the Jewish people will be fine, but what about you? I'm worried about you. And he says the expression, at ubeis avich tavedi, you and your father's house. This is you and your father's house will be destroyed. What is this reference to the father's house? What is it in this pasuk that he's telling her? Say you'll be destroyed. You and your father's house will be destroyed. What does that mean? So, if we look, we will find that the origins of the Megillah and the story with Amalek doesn't start with the Purim story, as we are well aware. The battle with Amalek is actually from the very inception of the Jewish people. Rashis Goyim Amalek, they're there right at the start. The Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, accept the Torah. We know the famous example, like the moshel of the boiling hot bath. We come out, we're burning, we're on fire. And Amalek is happy to throw himself in and get destroyed, but cool down the bath somewhat. So Amalek is there right from the start. As we read Parshas Amalek this Shabbos, Parshas Zochar. So they're there. And the first battle with Amalek is with the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu. The second battle is with Sho'ol. Sho'ol had a chance of wiping out Amalek. And Sho'ol came this close to wiping out Amalek. What happened with Sho'ol? He was given the command to wipe out Amalek. He kept alive King Agag, the king of Amalek. Kept him alive. Now, why did he keep him alive? If you look at Shmuel, have a look in the Psukim. He kept him alive because he wanted to make a big public scene of everything. He wanted to take Agag. He wanted to destroy him in a fashion that would have been different. He wanted to take all the animals that were there as part of the Jewish people, as part of Amalek, and he wanted to offer them up as korbanos. Now Hashem said, no, don't do that. Hashem said, kill Agag, kill them all, kill the animals, everything. We don't want any trace left of Amalek. They are pure evil. And Sho'ol makes a mistake, and a mistake that costs him dearly. Hashem says, because you kept alive Agag, we know that one night that he kept him alive, because of that, he had a union that actually resulted in Amalek being born and the continuation of Homolek eventually coming out of there. Amalek was already born beforehand, but the continuation of Amalek. And that drastic, terrible mistake cost Sho'ol not just his kingship, but cost the Jewish people very, very sorely and very dearly. Esther is a descendant of Sho'ol. She's not just simply happens to be the queen, Beis Avich. Mordechai's saying to her, if you're quiet at this time, there'll be another Reuach HaTzalah. But you know what I'm worried about? Atu Beis Avich Tavedu. You and your father's house. Who's your father's house? Sho'ol. Your father's father. You come from the house of Sho'ol. You have a chance now. You, as one of the descendants of Sho'ol, have a chance to fix up, to rectify, to correct that situation. What went wrong all those years before? If you do so, and you brought tikkun, you've affected that correction for Sho'ol and your father's house. But if not, Reuach HaTzalah, that will happen. But you and your Beis Avich will be destroyed forevermore. And so it's an amazing thing that's pointed out that Esther's not just coming from her own. We look at life as sort of as just one generation at a time. You have to see that it's actually all happening, repercussions, and once again, Esther is coming back, trying to actually bring back, so to speak, the glory of Sho'ol to try and correct that mistake.
The Beis Avich would include Mordechai, who was her uncle.
Yeah, that's right. They're also related. He also has his chelek in it as well. But he's speaking specifically to her that you're coming now in the name not just of yourself, but your father's house as well. Now what's interesting to note is that we now have a beautiful comparison between, let's look at the mistakes that Sho'ol made and the correction. How is it corrected by Esther? Now we're saying, Atu Beis Avich, that Esther now is actually coming to be misakin that which Sho'ol had mistakenly erred. So what happened? So we mentioned already, Sho'ol's mistake was, he decided he was going to do it his way. Hashem said, it's time to get rid of Amalek, they're pure evil, men, women, children, the lot, the animals, everything's got to go. Sho'ol said to himself, you know what, let's keep alive Agag, it'll be a big Kiddush Hashem, we'll keep him alive, and then we'll make a big spectacle, and we'll kill him publicly, not going to do it right now, we'll hold on. And you know what, the animals, I know Hashem said we should get rid of the animals, but you know, let's take the animals and offer them up as korbanos. I mean, what could be a greater Kiddush Hashem than take the animals itself and use the animals as korbanos to Hashem? Very nice, very noble, but one problem. Hashem never said so. The command was, this is it, you've got to get rid of them. And all your other cheshbonos, all your thoughts, and your ideas might be all very nice, but that's not what Hashem said. And that's exactly what the Navi, if you look there in the Psukim, we don't have time to go through it, but the Navi says exactly that. Your mistake is you didn't listen to Hashem. You thought you'd do this and this. Hashem says, in fact the Navi says, I don't care about the animals. Don't give me korbanos. I want you to listen to the command of Hashem. Firstly, that in and of itself is a very, very powerful lesson that we need to think about just for a moment. That we often think, I'm happy to serve Hashem on my terms. On my terms. I like doing this. This is what I like. Hashem, you know, let me serve you the way I want to serve you, and please don't interfere. You need to throw these things at me and give me a difficult time. I find that a bit too difficult. Let me do it the way I want to do it. I'll serve you. That's not our tachlis. Yeah.
So also, in the Torah, he actually, when he asked him, he says, I did what you commanded.
He says, what's that noise I can hear? So he even tried to justify.
That's right. He was trying to say he was L'shem Shemayim, and he was L'shem Shemayim. Let's not make a mistake. He was L'shem Shemayim. Shaul was trying to do the right thing. But his mistake was, never mind what you think is the right way to serve Hashem, rather, you do what you're told. Now, let's think about this. Where are the origins of all this from? If you think about every Aveira always traces itself back to Chet Adam Harishon. Now, Chet Adam Harishon, that first Aveira also, was a similar Aveira. Now, who are we to speak about Chet Adam Harishon? That Chet was so massive, it certainly was 1,000 miles away from some ridiculous Christian imagery of a guy, you know, ooh, that looks like a nice apple. Why don't we have that one? Firstly, it wasn't an apple, that's a Christian idea. It doesn't say anywhere in Chazal, apple. Right? You ask people, what did Adam Rishon eat? He ate from the apple. Shtuyot, the gamma. It doesn't say in any place, ate from an apple. Esrog, a wheat, the machlekes is what it was. It wasn't an apple. Okay, that's just the Christian idea seeping in. It was not an apple. It was either a wheat tree, it says, going to Samuel. It was an esrog. Okay, it definitely wasn't an apple. So we have these ideas of, oh, we just have, oh, that looks so rosy and so nice, but nonsense. So we're talking about Adam Harishon here, the greatest of the great. And who are we to speak about his chet? But on one level, we can say, because the Mefarshim explain, Adam Harishon was brought into this world, and he was told, okay, you're going to be in a world that's a dark world. Hashem is going to hide himself. Olam is Miloshem Ne'elam. And your job is to find me in that darkness. And if in that world you go and find me, you would have done something that adds to Kavod Shemayim. In other words, you did something that, as it were, I couldn't do because I chose to hold back, and then you go ahead and reveal me. Unbelievable. Kiddush Hashem. Says Adam Harishon, well, 1 minute. Let's go further. Right? Let me bring the world down further. I know Hashem said, I shouldn't eat from the Eitz HaDaas, Tov V'Ra, because if I eat from the Eitz HaDaas, Tov V'Ra, then I'll know about good and bad. Tov V'Ra. I'll have a mixture of good and bad within me. But 1 second. Imagine I can bring the world down, it's true. It will be an Aveiro, but there is a concept called Aveiro Lishmo. Aveiro Lishmo is a very, very difficult, it's a difficult thing to even talk about. That it's sometimes possible that a person can do an Aveira for the right reason, and Hashem can say, yes, that was the correct thing to do. Okay? Aveira Lishma. Loila Halacha L'maisa, right? That's not Halacha L'maisa. We don't start thinking about that it's an Aveira Lishma. Adam Harishon, as it were, thought to himself, I'm going to do an Aveira Lishma. Hashem says, don't eat from the tree, because on the day you eat from the tree, you're going to be Yodea Tovara, you'll know good and bad, and it'll be the world will drop. But can you imagine the Kiddush Hashem that will then come about? If I bring the world down, but then from that even darker place, I can still discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can still reveal Hashem, even greater Kiddush Hashem. And if the purpose of me being here in this world is to reveal Hashem in the darkness, so let's make it even darker, and then bring about even more of a Kiddush Hashem, what an unbelievable revelation. Hashem said, don't do it. Yeah, but there is the concept of Aveiro Lishma. I'm doing it, L'shem Shemayim, and I'll come back to Hashem, and I'll show the world, and I'll be, surely this is the correct thing to do. So he falls for the cheshbonus. He thinks to himself, good svara. And Hashem says, he never said he's wrong in his thought process. Maybe you're right. Maybe you'll say, let's make the world even darker, but I never said so. Bottom line, I said, don't eat from that tree. Hamino ate. Asher tzivisicha. From the tree that I said, don't eat, you ate from? You ate from that tree? What's with your cheshbonus? You were trying to be L'shem Shemayim? I never told you to do all those cheshbonus, to start thinking all your calculations. L'shem Shemayim, L'shem Shemayim, but I didn't say it. And as soon as man starts to interfere, man gives his own projection of how he sees the world. That's the beginning of the end. Hamino eitz. Obviously we know homon min ha-toyo minayin. Hamino eitz. Really the seeds of Amalek and the seeds of cheshbonos comes about already at the chet Adam Harishon. You have your own calculations. Your job is to put your calculations aside and follow what Hashem says. Even if your calculations are L'shem Shemayim. But if Hashem says no, then it's no. Shaul, also, as it were, mirrored the image of the Chet Adam HaRishon. He had his cheshbonis, l'shem shemayim, korbonis to Hashem, and to keep Agag alive and make a big spectacle. Beautiful, all very nice. I never said so. You've lost the Malchus. And not just lost the Malchus, you've caused tragedy for the Jewish people. Because Amalek's still around. Same Chet as Adam HaRishon. Your cheshbonis, I never asked you. The Tzivay of Hashem. Comes Esther, and Esther, who has many opportunities to make cheshbonos, to make also these calculations of what will be best for the Jewish people, and watch how she actually says, no, I'm following orders. If Mordechai says to me, I'm going to follow. Let me give you a couple of examples. You see in the Megillah, Esther is told not to tell that she's Jewish. Mordechai says, you're the queen, do me a favor, don't mention Cholent. Okay? That's a joke, you know? Just don't mention the war. Don't mention it. Don't mention the fact that you're Jewish. Okay? And Esther sticks to this. As the Pasuk says, La Yegida Esther es Amav v'Samaravata, she never says her nation and people, Ki Mordechai Tziva Aleh Asheloi Sagit. The Pasuk says specifically, why did she not say, Ki Mordechai Tziva Asheloi Sagit? And the Mepharshim point out, it was only she didn't say because Mordechai Tzivah. What is this that Mordechai says don't say? Wouldn't she also think it's not good to say? No. Because Mordechai originally said, you know, don't say you're Jewish. She would think, you know why don't say you're Jewish? Because if I start saying I'm Jewish, right, so then who knows what will be the king might hate me, he might, you know, chuck me out. But we're talking about a time where it says in the previous passage, right? That the king had this great relationship with her. So 1 minute, you know, anybody who's ever in a good position, at that point, slip in a bit of good news, you know. I know you like me. Just want to say, I'm a Jew. You know, just you should know. Ah, you're Jewish. No problem. I love the Jews. Give them an extra bonus. Wonderful. They can move to Goshen, you know. Now's a chance. Say that you're Jewish now. You're on a good wicket. You're doing well. The king likes you. Say you're Jewish. Why didn't she say? Not because she thought that this was the right thing. Only because, I'm sorry, Mordechai says don't say. She thought to herself, why not? No. But because Mordechai says don't do it, nothing to do with me. I am not going to give my own cheshbonos. Even though mitzad me, she would have said, well, it's better to say. Surely, you know, I'm on good terms with the king now. She mentioned I'm Jewish. No. Mordechai says, don't say anything. And the Mepharshim points out amazingly, by the way, what would have been if she would have said she was Jewish? What would have been? You know what would have happened? I saw brought down in one of the Perushim that when Haman then gave a decree against the Jewish people, Ahasuerus would have said, 1 minute, this is a bit problematic, this, because my wife's Jewish. Oh, I've got a good idea. Okay, well, the decree against the Jewish people, minus Esther. Right? It would have put in the original contract. Jewish people to be destroyed, but not Esther. She's a different type of Jew, and she happens to be Jewish, and she's my wife, so she's out of the picture. But no, because she never said what nation she was from, as soon as she says, no, that there is a decree against the Jewish people, she's included. Aha, now that she's included, so now we've got it's a different ballgame. Dafka, because she said, right? She never said anything. She didn't say she was Jewish. Why? Not because she thought that was the correct thing, but because Mordechai said. So you see, example number one of cheshbonos, she should have said this, but nonetheless, she was dedicated to the truth. And if Mordechai says so, even though from my logic, I should say something, no, Mordechai said, don't say. Another example. She fasts. She says, everybody should fast. I'm going into the king. She's going into Ahasuerus. Now we're told, the Pasuk tells us, that why was it such a danger? Because if you go into the king and he hasn't given his permission, then you're really in trouble. And the Pasuk even says, everybody should fast for 3 days. This is, look, I haven't been asked. Because if I come in, if he doesn't agree to this, it's off with your head. Now, 1 second. If you look at the Pesukim, we're told, the Mepharshim explained to us, she hadn't been in for a long while. And that's why she hadn't been called by the king. So 1 minute, what are you waiting around for? I don't understand. What are you in a hurry for? Wait till he calls you next. You know, this whole event happened at Pesach time. At Pesach time, they fast. Now, the decree is not till Adar. You've got plenty of time. I'll tell you what, wait till the next time the king calls you. Achashverosh, hi, is it Esther? Just want to have a little bit of a... Can we go out for coffee? No problem. Right? Next time, we go out for coffee. You say, then why risk your life and go to the king? In fact, the Mephoshim point out that it had been a while since she'd last seen him, which makes it even worse. That means any day now, he's going to just call you up for a coffee. Any day now, it's going to happen. Why? What's the necessity to go in now? You've got 6 months to the decree. And everybody's going to fast, and everybody, because I'm going to go in, I'll show the abadity, I'm going to be destroyed. So why do this? Why put yourself in a situation of danger? Just wait a couple of days. You know why? Because Mordechai said, this is the time, you've got to go in. As soon as the decree comes out, now it's got to be, she's risking her life. And if you think about it, why? Just wait a couple of days. If that's what he says, that's what he says. My cheshbonos, my own calculations, not relevant. And with this type of behavior of Esther showing that whatever I think it should be the right thing to do, I'm a vatel myself, I give myself completely to the words of the tzaddik of Mordechai, and thereby really the command of Hashem, thereby she actually fixes up the original problem of her great-great-grandfather, of Shaul. Because if the problem of Shaul was too many cheshbonos, too many calculations, what's going to be a greater kiddush Hashem, Esther does the opposite. Esther says, when she had the opportunity to come up with all the different calculations, not now, I'll wait till he calls me, and, you know, why should I not say I'm Jewish? No! If this is what I'm supposed to do, forget about me, I'm going to do the right thing. And with that, she's actually affecting a tikkun of that original chait Adam Arishon, and the chait of Shaul as well. And bringing about the reversal of Va'at u'beis avich tovedu. This is not you and your father's house going to be destroyed. This is the correction of the father's house. It's an unbelievable thing. Here you find Esther, and that is her whole mahus. She's bevatel herself. She completely gives herself for the Jewish people. You know, we often think, and they all live happily ever after. That's how most stories end. If you think about the Megillah, doesn't live happily ever after. Why not? You've still got a Jewish girl, Esther, who remains queen, Achashverosh, forevermore. That's not an envious position. You know, we don't say, oh, Baruch Hashem, she's the queen. No. She was married there to a non-Jew, and there's no happily ever after for Esther. But that's exactly her gagos. That there was no happily ever after in the story. She was mavatel herself completely for the Jewish people. She gave herself, and even if it means that for the rest of her life she was going to always be the wife of Achashverosh, and that's where she was going to be, that's, she accepted that's what it is. That was the Ratzon of Hashem. And her accepting of that, that is exactly the tikkun. On a practical level, what does that mean for us? Just to tie up. It means, you know, we all have this. We live our lives with how we would like Hashem to act for us. You know, we wake up in the morning, we give our Shemoneh Esrei, okay, Hashem, this is what I need today, this is what I'd like you to do for me today. And it doesn't go to plan. Hashem, what's going on here? I put it this way. Yeah? Cheshbonos, even Hashem Shemayim Cheshbonos, but at the end of the day, you have to do the Ratzon Hashem. I want to end with a story, which actually hopefully brings out this point, that it's not about our Cheshbonos, but rather doing the right thing. Somebody I know, a friend of mine, Choshev Arav in America, a young Choshev Arav, his name is Rav Eitan Feiner. Many years ago, there was a tremendous occasion. What was the occasion? He couldn't have children for many years. We were davening for many years. And Baruch Hashem, after over 10 years, he had a child. And when the child was born, unfortunately, he was born with many, many complications. And this is a child he waited for years and years. And everybody was davening and davening. And the child slowly progressed, got a bit better. I think it was about 7 or 8 months later. 7 or 8 months later, they made a bris. The baby was well enough to have a bris. So we're talking about not amazingly well, right? Well enough to be able to have a bris. So they made the bris in the great synagogue in Yerushalayim and invited everybody. The place was was packed. There were loads and loads of people. Because this was such a major event, people waited for over 10 years for a child. And then people had been davening for 6-7 months for a child. And I remember he got up and he spoke. It was an amazing occasion, because normally, obviously, a bris is a joyous occasion, but this was a bit of a sad bris, because he was coming here and he was going straight back to the hospital afterwards. It was not a posh bris. He started with Tehillim. It was a very serious, but an amazing ma'amad, amazing occasion. And he got up and he spoke. And Eitan Fein, if anybody knows about him, he is an unbelievable Mayan HaMeskaber of Torah. The guy's a genius, beautiful, Torah spouting from his mouth, quoting from Svarim. I can't even read the Svarim as fast enough as he can quote them. You know, like, unbelievable. And I remember he said the following. He said, you should know, his greatest love is Limud HaTorah. And over the last 8 months, he said, it's been very hard for him to have the consistency in the Limud HaTorah that he so loves and so enjoys. He says, but one thing he's learned, that even more important than Limud HaTorah is Ratzon Hashem. The will of Hashem. If Hashem wants me now to be in and out of the hospital for 8 months, that's what he wants. He wants me to learn Torah. That's how I want to serve him. Because I like learning Torah and I want to serve him. And of course Torah is very chashuv. But if Hashem says at this point in time, you've got to be in and out of the hospital, he says, one thing I learned over these 8 months, that Limud HaTorah is chashuv, but Ratzon Hashem is even more chashuv. And you have to say, if that's what Hashem wants. And if we have that perspective on our lives, we have to realize that the ultimate thing Hashem wants us to do is Ratzon Hashem, his desire. Of course, we try and do whatever we can to keep his Torah and mitzvahs, but if somehow he says you've got to do something, now is a different occasion, Ratzon Hashem. And our mevatel herself to Hashem, that is something which is very, very chaviv to Hashem. That's what Esther did. That's what Esther was mesakein the house of Shaul Beis Avich, and also ultimately the ultimate tikkun of Chet Adam Rishon. Yeah.